There's something about when you hear about a miracle that just makes you excited. Amen? Well, we're going to continue on with our tithes and our offerings. And if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Luke 6:38. And we are going to go over a famous passage of Scripture. And you probably have heard me speak on it a lot. But when I was thinking about tithes and offering, I kept hearing the word measure, measure, measure. And on Friday, I went to a track meet. It was an invitational. And normally when you go to invitationals, it's very quick. Your child does their event, and then you leave. I got there about 3:30, and I didn't leave till 8 o'clock. It was not a quick thing. It was very long. And so when I was praying about how to teach you on measurement, I told the Lord, we're going to use something from the track meet because something's going to come out of that. With all that sitting for almost 5 hours, right? Amen. And in verse 38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Now this is the part I want you to listen to. For with the same measure that you use, it will be you. Blah, blah, blah. The same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Amen? And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, and Luke, it must just be your day for your parents to brag on you. But you know, you take things from life, right? And it was a track meet, and Luke is our track guy. And whatever measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Luke is a tall guy, but as most of you guys have noticed probably, he's not big. And a lot of track stars are about 2 to 3 times his size. They're just big guys. They look like men. I'm just going to be real with you. They get up there to throw the discus, and you're thinking, okay, what college guy did they sneak in and say belongs to this high school, right? I mean, these are big dudes. But I'll tell you what, Luke practices year-round. Luke doesn't just wait for the track season to show up to practice. There have been times when it's pouring or it's freezing or it's scorching hot that he is down at our local park with his javelin or his discus and he's throwing year-round. So that's why he can go to a track meet with guys that are 2 or 3 times his size and out-throw them. That's because the measure that he's using is literally measured back to him in yards or feet, however you want to do it. So he can get up there, and I think there was like 20 guys at this meet for the javelin. Is that right? Somewhere close, because it's like the top 2 or 3 of each school. He placed second, and the only guy that beat him was a guy who's from 2 leagues above us. He plays second, right? And I'm looking at all these guys that are going up to throw going, oh, wow, right? But with the measure that you use, whatever it is your faith is for, whatever it is that you're focusing on, whatever it is that you are gaining wisdom, whatever it is that you are putting yourself into, that measure is going to be measured back to you. Now let's flip it around. There were guys that 2 or 3 times his size that would go up to throw the javelin, and it would literally go, and as a mom, I'm like, what in the world? What's up with that? And not just once, not just twice, but every time they got up, their javelin wouldn't go very far. And when I was praying about this, I realized sometimes you can have the body, you can have the muscles, but if you don't measure it out, if you aren't willing to put in the effort, you're not going to get it back. You're not going to get it back. There's not just muscles that are important. There's technique. There's skill. There's teachability. Some of these guys, they don't want to listen to what their coach has to say. Luke, he's talking to his coach, other coaches, anybody that comes up to him and says, hey, have you thought about this? Luke will go, okay, yeah, I can think about that, right? Teachability. What does this have to do with our tithes and offerings, right? What measure of faith do you have when you put your tithes and offerings in? Because whatever measure of faith, it's going to be measured back to you, right? Jesus didn't notice the scribes and the Pharisees because of their large gifts. He saw their negative hearts. They were trusting in their own riches, in their own finances. So when you hear the record of them from Jesus about their giving, it is not good. Okay? It's a negative report. But whose report was a good report? The widow with her two mites. Remember that? She brought her two mites in the midst of all of these Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders bringing all this wealth. She brought her two mites. Does that mean you can't be wealthy? No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's a measure. Her measure of faith was substantial. When she put that in, it was as a declaration saying, these might be my two mites, but I serve a mighty God. So she might not have had the body to get up there to throw the javelin, but because that she had been measuring out her faith supernaturally and in the spirit, when she gave her tithes and offerings, she cocked back and boom, and away it went. Why? Because with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. If you have the finances and you have a relationship with God, but yeah, I don't need to spend time, you know, seeking the Lord about what to give. I don't need to study. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to give. Nah. Well, yeah, you'll make it to heaven. But guess what? At the track meet, you're not going to score very well. You're just not. And you know what? Here's the deal. I know people who have finances, who are Christians, who do not pray, who do not really put any effort into their tithes and giving, and they still are flourishing. But I stop and I think, what would happen? What would happen if you actually gave some interest and actually started seeking the Lord? Can you imagine where they would be? Whoo! They might be dealing in the hundred thousands, but maybe they're supposed to be in the millions. And they're not, because they're not investing. They're coming at it as some of these kids that I watched of, oh yeah, I'll give it my best shot. But you can tell they haven't had training, they haven't listened to somebody, and they gave it their best shot and it went okay. But not like those who you can tell have measured it. The guy that was first place right above Luke, is just like Luke. I mean, you're constantly in contact with his coach. You can tell which guys are really in this because they have people with their phones and they're videoing them. And after they've done throwing, they go back to the person videoing and they're over there looking. I should have done that. Okay. What is that? That's the measure you put in is the measure you're going to get back. Everybody has the same opportunity. Everyone has the same ability. It doesn't matter size. Last year, the guy that threw the javelin the farthest was this little kid. I mean, little guy, not kid, sorry. Little guy, right? But he would make that thing sail because he practiced and he practiced and he practiced and he had the technique. Amen? With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. If you want something in your life, then what are you putting in? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time in the Word? When my kids come to me with an issue, the thing that the Lord has kind of been changing now that they're becoming young adults is instead of mom just praying for everything, it's, okay, what's your weapon? What are we agreeing on? What does that mean? That means you go get a Bible verse and I'll agree with you for that thing that you're praying about. What's changing? It's becoming their javelin, not mom throwing the javelin for them. Do you see what I'm saying? And so if we will put that effort in to seek the Lord, to look into his word, to see what he has for us, then that measure we use when we give, that measure of faith, because when you're in the word and you're listening to other people about the word and you're seeking the Lord, your faith what? Builds. Just like your physical muscles, your spiritual muscles build. Until when it comes time to give your tithes and offerings, Luke, can you do your thing? What can you do it in boots? Can you run up and just do your javelin thing? Please? It's really cool. Just walk through it so you don't hurt yourself. Like that. And you throw. There's a little bit more to it, but he's got boots. But yes, thank you, Luke. So where when you come to give your tithes and offerings, that's what it looks like. Because that is not well, is God going to bless me back? Is this javelin going to go very far? No. Luke, when he throws, there's an expectation that that thing is going to go the farthest distance possible. He's never looking down like this. No, even in discus, he turns his back because that's part of the deal with the discus. You turn your back. But when he walks up to that little semicircle, he stands there and he looks straight out. He's got his thinking. I'm out there. That's where it's going to land, right? When you give your tithes and offerings, you should be looking. It's out there. The sky's the limit with the Lord. This is going to go as far as God can take it. Amen? Whatever measure you use, it will be measured back to you. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get to heaven, and God's passing out, what are they, medals for the longest distance throwers, right? Let's be Redeemed Church longest distance throwers. Amen? Amen? Let's use the measure God has given us. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, I just thank you so much for this fun word today, for taking something that may not have been this so fun sitting on a cement block for 5 hours, but Lord, you showed me some stuff, and I'm grateful for that. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to teach each of us how to increase our measure, how to increase where we are, not to grow complacent, not to grow stagnant, but to keep moving forward. Show us how to exercise our spiritual muscles of faith, to maybe give when it doesn't seem like we should really be giving, but Lord, you've told us to give, so we're going to. And help us to look for the distance, Father. Help us not to go, well, maybe. No, we give and we go, God is going to provide. And Father, I just thank you for providing every need that is in this place, Father, from the smallest to the greatest. And Father, I pray that we wouldn't look at the things in our life and say, well, you know, God doesn't care about that. No, God cares. And what he's looking for is a seed that he can cause to flourish. And Father, I thank you today as we plant our seed in the ground, it is going to bring forth a supernatural harvest. It is going to go farther than any of us anticipated in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for the breakthrough, not just for the church, but for every family in this room, Father. We thank you for the supernatural breakthrough today in Jesus' name. And everyone gave a shout. Amen. Woo!
Praise the Lord. Let's stretch our hands out toward the giving baskets and let's make a statement of faith to say, I believe. I receive the blessing of God on my tithes and offerings. I receive raises, inheritances, increase, the blessing of God manifesting in every area of my life. And most of all, Father, get this gospel preached around the world. Someone else can be saved, delivered, and healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout, hallelujah! Amen and amen and amen. I love that widow's mite thing. It made me think of God will put his might on my widow. How many know even $10 million to God is a widow? What's $10 million a tithe of? $100 million? I don't know what that is. Huh? $10 million? No, I mean, what's $10 million a tithe of? $100 million, yeah. I love Keith Moore was receiving in their Greater Faith Conference, and he was like, remember, million is spelled with two L's. He's like, I'm serious. Somebody's going to be tithing $1 million. It was so great. Amen. Well, we can dismiss the kids and the youth this morning. I want to be praying, Lindsay and youth people, they offered us this building on a Sunday night anytime we want it. Let's believe God for some kind of a youth event, worship night, with food trucks out front. Wow. Hallelujah. Be praying about that and let me know what you think. We can harness the power of social media and get these kids in here and give them. They had the prom here a couple years ago. They know where it is. Amen. Bo and Rose, I talked to them about this recently, and they're like, yeah, we'll just let you use it on Sunday night. And Bo has a ministry of, you know, ministering to kids through the arts, and he has a vision for bringing kids in and having Christian artists train them in acting, music, you know, dance, all the, I mean, what an opportunity. Hallelujah. So come on, Jesus. Amen. I saw a food truck the other day that, you know, we just went to Hawaii last year, and I had my first experience with, is it called Shaved Ice? Is that what it is? Really? And I saw a food truck in Washougal that was a Shaved Ice food truck. And I wrote the number down. I thought, we're going to call you someday, right? And so bring some food trucks in out here, open it up. Hallelujah. Bo said, we should do a car show, man. Have people bring their cars. So come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Somebody say, saddle up. Saddle up. Man, time is short. The rapture is coming. Let's go out with a bang. Who wants to go out with a bang? Pastor Huck would say years ago, you know, when I served at New Beginnings in the mid-90s and 2002 or 3 or whatever it was, he would say, we're not going home with a moan. We're going out with a shout. In other words, God, he would say, we're going out the head and not the tail. How many, you guys remember that, right? Joni was there. Randy was there. We're going out the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. Karen was there, right? That still applies, man. They prophesied that just across the river for all those years. And, you know, we just need to keep saying some of these things. Hallelujah. We're not looking for, you know, we've said, you know, multiple times that we don't come to church to hide from the world. Jesus didn't say, hide till I come. No, he said, occupy. Right? Not, how many know not everyone is called to full-time ministry? There's like in just looking at the, you know, the children of Israel and the whole setup of the, you know, the temple in those days, there was like the tribe of Levi, Aaron's sons, were the ones that were called to serve in the house of God, you know, around the clock all year. Everybody else, right? We talked about the seven mountains of societal influence. Ministry is one of those mountains, but there's six other mountains. Family, media, arts and entertainment, business, education. Everybody's called to be out there serving in some capacity in the world and to bring the light of God to the world. Amen? And we come into church to get fired up and partner with each other and sow toward the work of God. But the majority of the body of Christ is called to hear the word regularly. Now we ought not stay out of church because I'm too busy. Right? Well, I can't go to church anymore because I have to go, I can make more money and I have to work on Sunday. Well, they can have someone else work on Sunday. Right? Not, at least not regularly. You know what I'm saying? So just, that's where we're pointing. Right? See the title of this message? One way. Somebody say, one way. One way, and his name is Jesus. Right? So we're pointing people to heaven, pointing people up, pointing people to God. Hallelujah. And if we're pointing people to God, then we better be pointing that way ourselves. Amen? There's a lot of other, you know, kind of sects of Christianity or that may talk about religion and faith and Jesus, but they're pointing people to their organization. Right? You need to join this organization. And a lot of people are very proud of their organization. I heard famous people once, one guy talked about how proud he was that, you know, they were kind of after him about some things that he had done questionably. And his answer was, oh, no, me and my whole family were baptized at Notre Dame. And that means what? Well, if you were accepted at Notre Dame, man, you must be with Jesus then. No. Somebody say no. Now, that doesn't mean anybody that was baptized at Notre Dame is lost. No, not at all. But we need to keep our vision on him, not on an organization. It's not about Catholic, not about Mormon. When people are baptized at this church, you're not baptized into Redeemed Church. You're baptized into Jesus Christ and into the body of Christ. And he has a great big body. Shelley was talking about some of the size of these athletes out there. Well, Jesus has a great, big, strong body around the world, and it isn't limited to this room. If anybody ever tells you that, That's a sign to move on, move on. We're the only ones doing it right. That's spooky to say that. But I'll tell you what, this is the only right way right here. So the church at large, we should be preaching the word of God. Not ourselves, not an organization. Amen. Let's open to John 14:6 as we get into this message today. John chapter 14, John the apostle of love. John called himself the disciple who Jesus loves. Now does that sound arrogant or what? Out of all those other guys, he said, I am the disciple who Jesus loves. And you can see in some of the stories that him and Peter kind of had this little competition thing going. When they arrested Jesus, the other gospels say one of them cut the ear off of one of the temple guard, took a sword and hacked this guy's ear off. John said, Peter did it. John says at the end of the book, they ran together, him and Peter ran together to the tomb, but John says, but I got there first. I won. When Jesus is telling his disciples how they're going to honor him, he's telling Peter, you're going to honor me by being martyred for me. And Peter says, well, what about John? What about him? And Jesus says, what's it to you if he lives forever? It's my business. They're just regular guys, right? But they love Jesus. They love the Lord. Amen? But listen to this. John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking. We'll read 1-6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Somebody say, mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Somebody say, he's coming. I mean, isn't that what he just said? See, sometimes we just need to stop with what he just said. What did he just say? I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Now, see, there's another faith that says you'll never be good enough to go to heaven. You'll never be good enough. Just hope that you're good enough to be resurrected in the 1,000 years and reign with him on the earth, because that's all, if even the best, that's all they'll ever have. That's a straight up lie, man. That's when you know what that is? That's devaluing the blood that was shed on your behalf. Somebody say, don't ever devalue the blood that was shed on your behalf. Don't ever talk about your problem like it's bigger than the blood. Don't ever talk about your issue, how bad you've been, or the mistake you made like it's bigger than the blood. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for the blood. I'm thankful for the blood. The blood is what qualifies you to be saved, to be in heaven one day. God's not going to have this master list. Well, let me just check the history. Steve Livengood, let's the God's Google account, right? And he pulls up Steve Livengood, and there's all this. Oh my goodness, I hoped nobody would ever see that. Now everyone, no, that's not what this is. The blood canceled that out, washed it away, cleansed it away. Amen. There are two judgments. The judgment seat of Christ is for Christians. And it doesn't mean every Christian is going to see every dumb thing Steve ever did. Let's compare who was dumbest. No. The blood of Jesus has washed away all the dumb things. Now, that's not permission for Steve to go keep doing dumb things. That's an invitation for Steve to repent and stop doing dumb things. Because I love Jesus, right? More than the dumb thing. Hallelujah. No, the judgment seat of Christ is an awards banquet. An awards banquet. Now, all awards won't be equal. But I guarantee you, there'll be some little lady that interceded all those years Billy Graham was in ministry, winning Billy Graham out front, winning millions of people to Christ. And Billy Graham getting this, and he'll be awarded. But the little lady that was in her rocking chair interceding for all of those crusades will get the same award. Can you imagine this? And there'll be others that'll be like, man, I'm just glad to be here. Hallelujah. And that's okay, right? Amen. So while we're here, let's be busy about serving God. The white throne judgment. Now that's a different judgment. That's for people who aren't born again. At the end of time. And all those people, hell is their award. Because they rejected Jesus. Rejected him. That's why it is so, so serious when people hear the gospel and shrug it off. Or hate Christians and act like that's okay. Well, I love God, but I hate Christians. You can't hate his people and say you love him. Now, yeah, Christians, sometimes we do dumb things sometimes. And we need to repent. Stop acting like the world is so sinful when I'm doing stuff in secret myself. Somebody say, judge yourself. And we preach the gospel, right? But that judgment is for the world, the people who've rejected Jesus as Lord of their life. Wouldn't it be a bummer to be the nice, you know, there's going to be somebody who's the nicest person in hell. Right? You think about hell and you think of mass murderers and, you know, Hitler and, you know, who knows? Hitler might have cried out to God while he was committing suicide. We don't know. There's going to be surprises in heaven. How did you get here? Same way you did. Same blood. And then there'll be other people like, where's so-and-so? They weren't saved. Right? This is how serious it is. And how simple it is. Some of the most serious things are so simple. Amen. Somebody say, one way. Jesus. So he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and you know the way, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, I'm so glad the disciples asked questions, right? Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And then Jesus said one of the most powerful things in the history of powerful things ever said by anyone. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, somebody say no one. No one comes to the Father except through me. Hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Hallelujah. Somebody say, come to Jesus. This salvation is a one-step process. There's another sect, so-called, of Christianity that says, no, no, no. There's actually salvation ordinances. So yeah, Jesus did that, but you also need to do B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. Somebody say it's a one-step process. Come to Jesus. Now, are there things I should do after I? Of course. Yeah. Are there things I should stop doing? Yes. Are there things I should start doing? Yes, but it's not in order to be saved, but rather it's because I'm saved. Hallelujah. Bible calls that fruits of repentance. Amen? I was listening to Pastor Terry Pearson's, and she said a couple of powerful things in her message last week. She said, now let's see if I can read my own writing here. She said, the sin of this world is pressing against the mercy of God until the response of his wrath cannot be held back anymore. Now that's a heavy statement, but a true statement. I think it's at another level, like we've been emphasizing, when you're talking about what's happening to children. I thought the other day, wouldn't it be great if abortion, now if anyone who's ever had that procedure done, there's forgiveness. The blood of Jesus washes away all sin. That was done in ignorance and deception and all that. But wouldn't it be great if abortion was included in the mortality rates? If you look up U.S. mortality rates, how people die. And they'll talk about cancer, they'll talk about heart disease, they'll talk about accidents, they'll talk about murder. Shouldn't abortion be on that list? It is not. How Nazi is that? Wouldn't it be great if there was a National Remembrance Day? You know how some of our leaders try to make January 6th, right? They'll have a big somber, oh, we just remember. And they're so theatrical, such actors and actresses. And they'll act like, what an awful thing. Oh, what an awful, those insurrectionists. Wouldn't it be great if we had a national day of remembrance for every unborn baby that has been aborted since Roe v. Wade? And had a national funeral? What does that do? Raises awareness. Acknowledges this is a human life. I'll say again what she said by the Holy Ghost. She said, the sin of this world is pressing against the mercy of God until the response of his wrath cannot be held back anymore. That sounds like the coming to the end of the age. And the wrath of God is not for believers. It's towards sin and people who just flat out refuse to repent. That's the alternative. And she also said, she said, monitoring myself is a full-time job. Because it's constantly trying to get into us. What? Sin, the pressures of this world, the cares of this world, gossip, slander, hate. The Lord brought me through a powerful thing in my own life this past week that I didn't even really realize was there. But just this negative, destructive thought pattern that I have been accustomed to all my life. Just this things I've been, you know, dealing with in my own life. And he brought me back to where it begins. Because sometimes if the Bible talks about renewing our minds and the power of control, taking every thought captive, and these negative little subtle things that we allow in our own thought life can take us to now we're saying things, considering doing things. Where does it begin? It begins between my ears. And things that the devil is suggesting. And he brought me to a place in the Holy Ghost where I saw a bloodline come right through my mind. And it's like he was sharing with me, he was like, son, you've been so focused on these little areas where you see this playing out in your life. And he said, but what we really need to do is address where it's coming from. And don't step across the bloodline. And I'll tell you what, I have seen such victory. Somebody say there's always more victory for us, if we want it. Now, was I not saved? Obviously, I'm born again. But somebody say there's more victory for us if we want it. Amen. And that's between us and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, in other words, we ought not be so preoccupied with the crazy stuff that's happening in the world when Steve just needs to control his own thought life. How many know if the Holy Ghost can get us in line and help us to get better and improve, that will impact the rest of the world. That will impact the body of Christ. That will impact your workplace and your schools and your country and all these things. When the church gets real good, right? And I've preached this, I've said it, I live it. But the term, let's be quick to repent, when you blow it, repent quickly. And how many know that's a good idea? Don't let it just drag on and on and on and on. But the Lord showed me something else this past week. He said, you know, it's even better than being quick to repent. Be quick to obey. If I'm quick to obey, then I don't have to repent. Now, praise God for the gift of repentance. The repentance, I mean, we are human beings in fleshly bodies. We're going to have to just admit things from time to time and say, Lord, I received the cleansing of your blood over that situation. I apologize. And be quick about it. But he showed me something, and it had to do with that thought life thing, meditations and negative things. And Dr. Caroline Leaf has a book about toxic thoughts. Toxic thoughts. And I'll tell you what, it's quickly recognizing. And he's helped me this past week to be quicker. That's the word for today, is quickness. To be quicker to recognize. And for me, my favorite sport has always been baseball. And there's a difference in the pitching from T-ball, because they put the ball on a tee, to coach pitch, when the coach just lobs it in there, to the Babe Ruth level. Now kids are throwing some strikes, and look out, because it might be right at your head, because they don't have control of the ball, right? To freshman year of high school, to JV, to varsity. That's as high as I got. I tried out for two college teams, and guess what? I wasn't good enough. The pitching was too fast. I faced a guy, I tried out for Mount Hood Community College, and this guy named Dan Carlson, I think he went to Reynolds or somewhere over there, and he got drafted by the Giants. The Giants. And I got to hit off him once, and I'll always remember it. I swung, and the ball had already gone by me. Somebody say, you have to be quicker. And the Lord has been showing me, son, to get victory, you're going to have to be quicker at recognizing these thoughts before they manifest and take hold. And you're going to have to be quicker about rejecting that. And I'll tell you what, it's like playing Major League Baseball. Because thoughts are so quick. And I'm so used to just accepting that negative thought about myself. But the Word of God, I got good news for you, church. The Word of God is quicker than a thought. The Holy Ghost on the inside of you is quicker than a thought. And some of the best hitters, I remember Cal Ripken Jr., the Iron Man of back in the 80s, and he played more consecutive games, I think, to this point than anyone in history. And he said this, you got to be quick on it. When you see that ball, you got to be quick on it. Somebody say, I'm quick. By the Holy Ghost, I am quick to recognize a lie and reject it, even if it sounds true. You know, that sounds like me, but I reject it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, be quick to obey. I'm quick to repent, but I'm quicker to obey. If I have to repent, it's because I didn't see it. I wasn't quick on it. And then I'm quick to repent and get back up there. Get back up on my feet. I'm quick to stand up again. But guess what? I'm standing up longer and longer and longer. Just like a toddler who's learning to walk, and they'll fall on their face and fall on their face. But after a while, they're not falling on their face anymore. But yesterday, me and Lindsay went for a walk along the docks in Washougal, and there was a bit of the dock that I didn't see, and it was raised up a little higher, and I almost fell on my face, but I caught myself, and we laughed about it. Somebody say, I'm quick. I'm quick to see it. Kenneth Copeland said, for those who will obey me and listen to my voice, I will keep and protect you throughout 2024. We could probably just say throughout your life. How about just throughout the day? Because really all we got to think about is today, now. Amen. Well, the vital importance of quickness. Terry Copeland again said this. She said, repentance is the escape. Repentance is the door out. Hallelujah. And she talked about the importance of sensitivity to the voice of the Lord. But guess what? I have good news for you, church. Once you've escaped, once you've gotten out, you can stay escaped. You ever seen the movie The Great Escape? With Steve McQueen. It's a good movie. Most of them didn't make it. They're in a Nazi prison camp. And they start tunneling under all the houses with like spoons and things. And they create this tunnel out. And the ones that did escape, they didn't want to come back. When they were out, man, they were gone. Hallelujah. So once we've escaped, we have our freedom now. Freedom. Hallelujah, right? And now God can use us to point others to their freedom. But let's look at some good quickness scriptures here. Luke 24:25, Jesus said to them, "Oh, foolish ones, slow." Somebody say, slow. "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe, and all the prophets have spoken." Somebody say, "I refuse to be slow. I'm getting faster at this. I'm getting quicker." Slowness of heart does not please the Lord. My fourth grade teacher, one time, I had this big old head of like an afro, blonde afro. And I had a tendency, I was the kid in school that daydreamed a lot. I'd just be like, I've always liked airplanes too. And even when I was a six-year-old playing, I played goalie on our soccer team. And we were good. So they were always way down at the other end. And I'd just be like, oh, airplanes. Ooh. All of a sudden I'd be hearing, "Steve, Steve." And I'd be like, now I'm on, right? Just the other day when I was teaching, an airplane was flying in, and I almost like, oh, airplane. I got back to preaching. But my fourth grade teacher, there was like this little reading group, and he was reading to us, and I was in this little group, and I was just kind of, and he should have done that. He grabbed a part of my hair and gave it a yank. It's like he noticed I wasn't listening. Slow. Slow. It was embarrassing, man. I was already conscious about my hair, right? But I'll tell you what, I paid attention after that. Somebody say, pay attention. Have you ever seen that? One of my favorite movies, you have to skip a few cuss words, Sister Act Part 2. Whoopi Goldberg and all the nuns, and they're taking this Catholic high school choir, these kids that are kind of on the streets, and it's really funny. But she tries to give them some vision. The school's going to go under. They're going out of business. And she turns this group of kids into a choir, and she finds out they can all sing. But the one girl that's like one of the most talented girls, she's got issues at home and just bad attitude. And she says, if you want to be somebody, if you're going to be someone, you need to wake up and pay attention. Great movie. And true. We need to be people that are quick to wake up and pay attention to what Jesus is telling us. Because right here it says, slow. Why didn't I make the college team? I was a little slow. And there's no shame in that. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is quick." Hallelujah. Don't you know he says God is light? Have you ever thought about the speed of light? Have you ever seen Star Wars or Star Trek and they say light speed? And man, The Word of God is quick. That tells me the more time I spend in this, the more time I spend with the Word and in the Word, the quicker I'll get. Because I'll tell you what, the devil's been around for eons, and he knows. He has the power of suggestion, and he'll say things like a used car salesman that sounds slick. Nothing against used car salesmen. There's some good ones. But he'll lie. Some of our politicians right now are such good liars, they believe their own lies. They've been lying so long, they believe what they're saying themselves. They actually believe there's 2,700 different genders. Nuts. Just bizarre. Not even biologically true. Somebody say, I'm quick. I'm quick to believe. I'm quick to obey. Right? Quick to repent, but quicker to believe. And quicker to obey and do what he says. Right? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And I'll tell you what, that's where the battle is. Because in your spirit, that's where you're born again. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. One of the times where I would go as a young person to the altar and just repent to God for sins in my life, and one time he said so clearly, he said, son, give me your will. The area of the soul. That's where Steve can be quicker. To take charge of my own mind, to take charge of my own thoughts, to take charge of my own emotions. Just because I feel like flying off the handle doesn't mean I should. Amen, right? Piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, to the joints and marrow, to the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hallelujah. Discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Helps me to see motive. Why am I feeling this way? Where does that thought come from? We were watching an old John Wayne movie last night, and there were two guys that both seemed to be good, but the one guy came clear that John Wayne was the good guy. He always is the good guy, right? And they both wanted to get the same guys, but the guy that seemed to be good was taking the law into his own hands. And the one third hero that was in the movie, I guess the one guy really wasn't a hero, thought he was. He said, you know what the difference is between John and Billy? The guy was supposed to be Billy the Kid. And he thought he was doing good. He took the law into his own hands. He took the scripture, the lamp of the wicked, or the candle of the wicked shall be put out. And he said, I'm the one that's going to put it out. And he became a psycho, right? And the one guy says, you know the difference between Billy and John? Billy's out for revenge. John's out for justice. Hallelujah. And the word of God helps me to be quick to see where my heart can get off. Hallelujah, right? Somebody say, stay with Jesus. One way. One way. Judas is a good example of this. He was in the 12. And he thought, you know what? Maybe the intent of his heart was, I can help him. He's supposed to be king. If I just sell him out, he'll have to stand up and take charge. And in the process, he became greedy and, you know, all these awful things, and it costed him his life and his position. Danger, danger, right? He was slow, and in fact, he became so slow that he never did repent. Peter also betrayed Jesus, but he repented, and his heart was right. Judas mourned, felt bad, but his mourning and grief was about the curse that was bringing on him and his family. Peter was sorrowful and grieved because he hurt Jesus. Because you love the Lord, right? Big difference. Amen. Somebody say, I'm quick. I'm getting quicker. I remember, you know, using our kids again in track. Ella, my niece, she got moved from the group that run. There's like two different groups that run in these races, and she likes to do the run part, track running part. And they bumped her into the group, the next group, because she was finishing in the top two in her category. So they bumped her up to the next level of the kids that are, I mean, older than her and faster, quicker. Somebody say quicker. You know why they did it? Because they said when people get a glimpse of someone that's faster than them, they automatically start going faster. That's why it's good to hang around other people that have faith, that might be a little quicker. That's why I love Victory Network. Man, those people are quick. You watch EMIC, you watch KCM, you watch Keith Moore, Bill Winston, Bishop Butler. What's the gal's name down in Southern California? Nancy Dufresne. I mean, these people, men and women, quick. Hallelujah. Amen. I got time for a few more here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Behold, now. Somebody say, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So we ought not be Christians that say, I'll get to that later. I'll fix that later. Somebody say, now is the time. It's like as parents, sometimes when the kids are little, or son, daughter, let's clean the room. Okay, I'll do that later. No. Now! Somebody say, now. When God tells you to repent, to snap out of it, now. My fourth grade teacher, he meant pay attention now. Oh, somebody say now. He's all about the now. Hallelujah. Psalm 143:11 says this, quicken me, O Lord. Somebody say, quicken me, O Lord. Another word for revive me. Breathe life into me. Those areas of my life that are dead or dumb or slow. Quicken me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. What did he say, spirit? No, he said soul. Sometimes we just got to grab ourselves and say, soul, mind, will, emotions, snap out of it. And I mean now. I'm not holding on to that negative thought about myself. I reject it in Jesus' name. Or something somebody else said to me that tried to define me. See, there's things that people said to you as a kid that you may not even subconsciously remember that is still hanging on. And the Holy Ghost will show you where that came from and draw the bloodline there and sever it. And then you have to be disciplined at catching it quickly and saying, no, no more. And I mean now. Hallelujah. When's he want me to be free? Somebody say, now. Now's a good time, right? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3:18, we'll close with these next two. For Christ also hath once delivered, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Somebody say, quickened by the Spirit. See, the Holy Ghost is the quickener. Praying in the Spirit, man. The Spirit is out ahead of the flesh, always. Out ahead of the soul, out ahead of the flesh. Hanging out in the Spirit is where it is at, man. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm quickened by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, yes, but the Holy Spirit communing with my spirit will literally pull you out of the mire and the muck. and quicken you. Somebody say, I'm quick. I'm quick in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We might have a couple more here. Zechariah 1, verses 1 through 4. This is the prophet Zechariah speaking to Israel, who had, by and large, rejected and walked away from God. And he said this, in the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord. Now remember what the word of the Lord is? Somebody say, quick! So when a word from the Lord comes, it's time to respond now. But at least believe it now, right? The word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of, good luck trying to say that, we'll call it Berechia, the son of Iddo the prophet, saying, the Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me. That's called repent. Repenting is returning to God. Now, some people have never been with him to begin with, but the majority of the people he's talking to here are people who once believed and have gotten slow and dull. And he wants us to be quick and sharp, right? Return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now. Somebody say, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. We'd like to broadcast that to the USA, right? To those who are serving in any public office or teaching children or doctoring or lawyering or prosecuting attorneying or governoring or mayoring or presidenting or vice presidenting or judging or coaching or parenting. Right? Turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. And then it says, but they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord. He's talking about the past, the people that got cut off because of their own slowness and just rejection of the word of God. Somebody say, not me. I return to God, and I'm staying with him. Staying with him. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand up on our feet this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Somebody say it again. I am quick to repent and even quicker to obey. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank him for his words today that are lifting us up. His words that are lifting us up above the realm of the soul and into the realm of the spirit. He would remind us, don't live in the realm of the soul. The soul is important, the mind and emotion and, you know, those are important things. But the spirit, staying in the word, staying in faith, staying with what God says will pull my soul out of trouble. And in doing so, he will use us to pull other people out of trouble. Hallelujah. And we thank you for that word today, Father. We thank you. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we commit our lives to be people that are quick to repent and quicker to obey, that hear and we are quick to believe your word, and stay with your word and point people to the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. And just take a moment and check your own heart. Is there anything that the Lord is showing you that he wants to deal with right now? When? Somebody say, now. And you just allow him to deal with it. A negative thought pattern. Sometimes I think in the spirit I can see text threads. Like in the realm of the soul, there are like threads, like where you pull up a number and it's like, I don't remember texting this person, but there's like a thread that goes on and on and on and on. And it's negative, 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 negative. And I see the Lord just causing that to cease and be removed from your history. Now, in the name and by the blood of Jesus, we take authority over negative, toxic thought patterns. We apply the word of God to it and we say, freedom, the blood of Jesus. We draw the bloodline in our thought life that we will not allow that thought to germinate and take root in us. We reject it in Jesus' name. And we may even have to speak it out loud. And driving down the street by ourselves, and that thing pops up, and you quickly recognize it. And the Holy Ghost points it out, and you say, I reject that thought in the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's not who I am. That's not what I do. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you for our freedom, Lord. We thank you for our freedom. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.